I really need to worry about revival in me, you know, before I need to worry about it for anybody else, mm-hmm. you know? And so I love the old idea of like, how do you bring revival? Well, you get a piece of chalk and go in your prayer closet and draw a circle and ask mm-hmm. God to bring it there. And when mm-hmm. he does, it's begun.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and my husband Todd and I pastor Christ Fellowship Church together. The So Good Sisterhood podcast is all about investing in every girl from every generation to live intentionally, lead confidently, and love generously. And hopefully, it will leave you saying, that was so good. Well, hey, everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and I am so glad that you're joining me today. There's just so many ways you could be spending your time, and I'm really honored that you would spend it with us on the podcast, having some really great conversations. And this whole season, we have been digging deep into our Word of the Year encounter. And so far, we've had conversations around the difference between an encounter and an event. There's a difference between an event that may leave you feeling good for a couple of hours and an encounter with Jesus that marks your life in such a way that it impacts the path you take, the perspective you have, and the people in your life are going to be profoundly impacted because of that encounter. And I really believe that encounters, even though they aren't common, they don't have to be rare. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm so excited to have my special guest today, Ryan McDermott. He is one of my favorite pastors, definitely one of my favorite preachers. He's our next gen director here at Christ Fellowship. If you come to Christ Fellowship, you have heard him on the weekends, and so many of you tell us he's your favorite preacher too. So really so excited to have you, Ryan.
I'm excited to be on my favorite podcast.
Oh, thank you. Well, most importantly listener. Though, you're a great preacher. You're a great pastor. You're really a great human.
Thank you.
we love you around here so much, but the most important thing is you're the husband to Christine.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And shout out to Christine.
Yeah.
You're a dad to Declan and Kinley, two of the coolest kids that we know, and such a great dad, but just really honored to have you. How long
Thank
have you,
you
been on team here at Christ Fellowship?
Almost 14 years.
Oh my word.
Yeah, it feels like it hasn't been that long.
Yeah.
So hoping for 14 more.
Yeah, we do too. So yeah, you were newlyweds when you first
yes.
came on. You
yeah.
started out in student worship, and so it's just been really incredible to just see now you're also an author, and we're going to make sure
oh,
that
man.
We link your book in the show notes. So just really excited. Hey,
yeah.
on the podcast here, we definitely dig deep
yep.
quick, right?
Okay,
so we go deep pretty quick. So we just want you to just share something about yourself. A lot of people know you on the platform, but something that you would only know about you if you were one of your close friends.
Okay. I've got a few quick
okay.
ones, but something that surprises people is I'm actually an extreme introvert. So I love people, but I also need to be away from them. And so extreme introvert, I've split my chin open 9 times in the same spot.
Wow.
Once was twice in the same day. Same ER doctor stitched me up twice. It's got to be a record.
Well, so can you tell me just at least 3 of the things that happened that made you split your chin open?
One time I fell just off my bike riding to school, went over the handlebars, split my chin. And then that same day, I was playing baseball with my friends. And I went to get a ball out of the back of a truck and I tripped and landed on my chin.
So, same day. Okay.
Same day.
That's amazing. Well, that actually speaks to the fact you're also an adventurer. So you are quite the traveler. I'm kind
yeah.
of jealous of your Instagram account, but you've been to lots of different countries too.
Adventure might be my favorite word. Yeah. 45 countries, got a long way to go, but
wow.
counting. Yeah. We don't do birthdays. We don't do gifts. We don't go out to dinner. We just like, we save to travel. Mm-hmm. So we love it.
I love that. Your kids love it too. I know.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Well, I'm really excited about this topic we're going to be jumping into
yep.
today. I mean, a few weeks back when we kicked off the year, we had our revival nights
yep.
and we kicked off the year with our Word of the Year encounter.
Yeah,
and you preached an incredible message mm-hmm. to our church family that, you know, that people are still talking about. And one of the things you talked about in that message, though, was that there are some prayers
yep.
that we pray that God will not say no to.
Yeah.
So I'd love for you to unpack that for our listeners.
Yeah. Honestly, prayer hasn't always been easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of person who likes to kind of dissect things and figure them out. I've always been more of like a Bible study person
mm-hmm.
than a prayer person. So I've had to really work hard on cultivating a prayer life because it's always been a bit like confusing to me, right? So when we pray, do we change the mind of God? Do we move the hand of God? If something happens, was it because I prayed? If something doesn't happen, is it because I didn't pray hard enough? And so a few things have really helped me in kind of my prayer journey. And one of them is that despite me not being able to figure prayer out, God still instructs us to do it over and over again. And the realization for me that the like Hebrew word for prayer just means connection is so helpful because it's not about anything more than that, being connected to and present with my Father. That idea really, really helps me. And the more I am in his presence through prayer, the more I become like him. And so another way to say that of like, there are prayers God won't say no to is like, the more we pray in the will of God, the more he says yes.
Yeah.
And so the more time we spend connected to him, the more we become like him. And then we start to pray the things that he would pray. And when we're praying the things that Jesus would pray, then God says yes to our prayers, you know? And so a couple fun examples of that are like, you know, if I ask God, like, give me a deeper hunger for your word, like God's not going to say no to that.
Exactly. You
know, like, God, help me be more like Jesus. You know, he's not going, no, these are things that are the will of God. And so when we desire them, long for them, ask for them, pray for them, God says yes to our prayers more often. And actually for me, that made prayer like really fun.
Yeah.
Like it totally transformed my prayer life because the more we pray his will, the more God says yes to our prayers.
Yeah, that's so good. I think sometimes we don't always like the answer that we
yes,
get.
Yes, that's right. He does answer.
Yeah. Jesus more like, and then he, people in our lives that are going to make us know how to love our enemies and, you know, turn
people
the
people will joke about like, don't pray for patience, you know, because then you're in a scenario where you have to practice patience. But yeah, I think that God loves to keep his promises and God loves to perform his word. Mm-hmm. And so if we're praying in his will and we're praying his word, then very often we're going to see him move.
Yeah, that's so true. And that I love that word prayer means just connecting with God, you know, and it's really just this ongoing conversation. And I love that. And you said that prayer hasn't always come easy.
It hasn't.
Right. And I think for some people, you know, it doesn't. And I don't know anybody who actually says, you know, my prayer life is incredible and I don't need to, you know, I don't need to grow in this area at all. So I think it's a struggle for all of us, but I do think that, like you said, all of us connect with God in different ways.
We do.
And especially when you ask those hard questions, you know, that you were just asking a couple minutes ago, but what are some of the ways that you have, you know, personally, some practices you have personally put into your life to help you encounter God through prayer and through this connection?
Yeah. One thing is like, I needed some prayer mentors, like, cause I look at people who have this kind of vibrant prayer life and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I have that. So tell me about that. And really having those sort of prayer mentors in my life really helped me. So not just people praying for me, but people helping me to pray has been really helpful. I think the kind of forgotten ingredients to an effective prayer life, at least for me, are like silence and solitude. And we often forget that those things really go together, right? So silence obviously being the practice of getting quiet and solitude being the practice of getting alone. You know, prayer is hard enough without the like noise and chaos and everything competing for your attention. And so for me, what I found was the more I practiced silence and solitude, the more my prayer life really became significant because it wasn't just something on a list of things to do. It was, no, I'm actually carving out a time and a place to be able to do that. We live in a world, obviously, where it's hard to get alone and it's hard to get quiet. But the more we do that, the more I think we can experience God through prayer.
Yeah.
So it might be like in the car line when you're picking up your kids. Like for the moms, it might be like while you're feeding your kids. Mm-hmm. Like there's different ways of doing it. But for me, these practices help me cultivate a discipline of prayer. So we have to pick a time. You know, like our brains are actually wired for routine that when we get to a certain time, that there should be a certain thing that we do. And the more we can build that into our lives and to pick a place. Like I love how you and Pastor Todd will talk about like your prayer chair or your prayer couch. I think.
Mine's the couch.
The couch.
Todd's the chair. Yeah.
Well, having that place though, there's something about going to the same place at the same time that triggers your brain and just your spirit even, I think, that, oh, this is what we do here and now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really helpful. And then for me, the challenge with that of like picking a time and picking a place is to only bring to that environment what is necessary for the task at hand. And so I know this might be a little controversial, but like, I can't bring my phone. I can't read scripture in that moment on my phone because there's going to be a notification or a text message or a phone call. And I love that we have such great access to God's word. And I love like our daily feature on the app and all that. But for me, like if I'm trying to get silent and, you know, in solitude, I can't bring that. So for you, it might be a little bit of scripture. It might be some worship music, but that's it. Mm-hmm. Because anything else that you bring into that space will compete for your attention. Yeah. If I'm going to get with God, I got to leave a few things behind personally.
Yeah, I love that silence and solitude for, you know, a couple of reasons. And one of the things I do bring my phone in because that's where I get my worship music, but I put it on airplane mode.
There you go.
But read the scripture from the Bible so that, you know, I'm keeping that conversation going because it is the importance and the foundation of silence and solitude. I think part of the reason is because prayer isn't just us talking to God.
That's right.
It's that he wants to talk back.
Amen.
And so the only way that we're going to hear is through silence and solitude. We're not going to be able to hear. We're not going to be able to put out the voices of other people, the voices of culture, unless we actually cultivate that discipline, you know.
That's right.
And when you think about the biggest reasons that we don't hear from God many times is because of disruptions, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, same thing.
Distraction.
Distraction, you know, disappointment because we may not feel like we're connecting or hearing from God, you know.
Right.
You don't have to end your prayer in the morning with amen. You can just, hey, God, this is going to be a conversation.
Yes.
You can pick up your app later.
Yep, total.
And
that's
then, you know, at noon, set your alarm and read the verse of the day. And, you know, so I love that. That
that's
it can
the
be
other
a
thing for me that you mentioned is like, I have to do it first thing. And maybe there is someone out there who can do it at the end of the day and still have this like vibrant relationship with the Lord and find intimacy. That's just not me.
Yeah.
Like it gets pushed out of my day. Mm-hmm. And so I heard somebody say once, like, if you seek him early, you will see him often.
Yeah.
And so it's just like starting your day in the presence of God and connecting with God through prayer, like it absolutely sets the tone for everything. And so as much as I might not want to wake up early or do the thing, like that's what I have to do.
Yeah, I am definitely the same way. I've tried it both ways, always, but there was a season like when Jefferson was young and he would wake up as soon as I woke up.
Right.
And really during those seasons, it was maybe 15 minutes at the beginning of the day. That's all I had. And then I would do my Bible study a different time of day.
Yep.
And you just have to figure out what works for you. But
I
do think there is something about getting up early in the morning and seeking the Lord that sets the tone and the pace for your day, and your days dictate your life. Days multiplied over time is your life. And so this sets the direction and
so
the
good.
Course. So I do love that. I love what you said also about these prayers that God will not say no to. And it's always in his will that if you seek him, you're going to find him. But one of the things that we've been praying for that we know is in God's will is revival. And so, you know, we have our private prayer life, but we're just praying for revival in the lives of our families and the lives of our church. And this has been our heart's cry for as long as I remember, but it seems to have intensified in this season. Mm. And when you think about praying for revival, again, we know it's God's will, but we don't want to work it up. We don't want to manipulate it. We don't want to fabricate, you know, a move of God. But there is something about revival is a partnership.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a supernatural partnership between us and God. And we can prepare for what we're praying for.
Absolutely.
And what do you think it looks like for us as believers to really position ourselves to be prepared for an outpouring that God wants to pour out?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I think if we're asking God to do something, but we're not putting in the work to prepare for or position ourselves, it's obviously much more difficult to see what we're asking for. So I appreciate the quote from G. Campbell Morgan. He said, "We cannot organize revival, but we can set our sails to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow upon his people once again."
I love that.
And he's saying the same thing that you are, which is like, we have to be ready for what we're believing for. We have to prepare for what we're praying for, because I really need to worry about revival in me, you know, before I need to worry about it for anybody else, you know? And so I love the old idea of like, how do you bring revival? Well, you get a piece of chalk and go in your prayer closet and draw a circle and ask God to bring it there. And when he does, it's begun. So, so much of what we've already talked about is relevant to the conversation of like, we've got to be asking God for that. I think that's a powerful picture. But what I shared in that message, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, is there are actually some requirements of revival. And if we want to see revival, it's going to require a fresh revelation of God in Christ, you know, that we we need to see Jesus for who he is and what that means for our lives, that we need to be hungry for, passionate about, seeking Jesus above all else. And I think primarily we do that through God's written word, yeah. right? That the fullness of God has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus. How do we get to know Jesus? Through the word, his word. So I think that's one thing that we really need is like, yeah. we've got to fall more in love with Jesus yeah. than ever before. But also revival requires repentance from mm-hmm. our sin, you know, that we would be truly sorrowful for the things in our lives that are not the way that they should be. And yeah. the things in our lives that separate us from God and where we've fallen short of God's glorious standards for our lives. And, mm-hmm. you know, understandably, sin is something that we sometimes are uncomfortable talking about because I think God has so much more mm-hmm. in us and God is about much more than just our sin. At the same time, like if I'm not truly repentant for the things in my life that don't line up with God's word or God's will, then I don't know if we're going to see revival. I think repentance is a key part of that. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, we were looking at the scripture from Isaiah chapter 6, where he's like, here I am, send me, yeah. you know, that when you have this encounter with God, as we've been talking about, the only appropriate response, like in awe of who God is and in recognition of the areas of our lives where we fall short, is to go like, God, whatever you want, mm-hmm. I'm in, like, mm-hmm. here I am, send me. And so it requires that type of yeah. response. And so, you know, what I've been thinking about a lot in terms of like encounter or revival is like, there is this sort of like rhythm of revival, right? Mm-hmm. Like we look up, we get upward, we yeah. get this fresh revelation of God in Christ. We look inward, we're, you know, evaluating ourselves and seeing where we fall short. And then we're outward. It's like, yep. okay, God, who are you sending us to and why are you sending us to mm-hmm. them? And, you know, revival, I think more than anything, is going to birth an urgency to reach the lost with yep. the gospel of Jesus. Yeah. And so I've just been thinking a lot about that, like upward, inward, outward. Like if the church gets that and we just live right. in that rhythm of revival mm-hmm. and when we encounter God and evaluate ourselves and eagerly respond, like, man, there's no stopping the church that, right? that lives in that rhythm of revival.
Hey everyone, Carissa here. You know, one of my favorite things I love most about the podcast is the conversations I get to have with my friends. From favorite quotes to so good moments to devotionals, Show Notes Plus gives me the opportunity to discuss and dive deeper into the content. It's also a great way to stay up to date on everything happening in Sisterhood. Click the link in our show notes so you don't miss out on anything.
I love that. Upward, inward, outward. Yeah. And because, you know, when we're seeking God, when we allow him to deal with the yep. things that are separating us from him, yep. you know, and keeping us from being able to reach people, that is going to have an impact on the people around us. And yep. so our encounter really is a seed to somebody else's revival,
Absolutely.
Their personal revival, coming to know right. Jesus. And I love that. You know, a lot of times when you read about just the revivals in church history,
yep.
they almost always started Amen. With the next generation, with young people that are just doing exactly
right.
what you just said. And I know that you lead all of our next gen ministries here, our kids and our students and our young adults. And we live in a culture where it can be really easy to become discouraged
yes.
when you see the challenges yep. that are facing this next generation.
That's right.
You see something different because you're actually calling this next generation up
yep.
to their purpose, to their calling. You're speaking Amen. A better word. I'd Amen. Love for you to share just a little bit about what you're seeing in the next generation.
You know, it's so funny you asked this question. I literally read an article today in the Los Angeles Times about Generation Alpha, and these are the three words that they used. They said this generation is feral, illiterate, and doomed. And I just thought,
wow,
that's the word that's being spoken over the next generation by the world, you know. And there's actually kind of a bit of a movement right now not to refer to the next generation as Gen Z or as Gen Alpha right behind them, but actually as the revival generation.
Come on.
And I just,
Come
I love
on.
That.
Yeah.
It's like, that's exactly yeah. what you're saying. It's speaking a better word over mm-hmm. that generation that like, you're not doomed. Actually,
no.
like you're the hope of the world. Like God moves in generations.
Yeah.
God thinks generationally, as mm-hmm. we've talked about before. So I think we do have the opportunity to speak a better word over them. And personally, like, I've never been more excited about what God is doing in the next generation than I am right
yeah.
now. And so going on almost 20 years of like student ministry
wow.
and, you know, next gen ministry, and I've never been more excited, you know, because I do think there's a unique stirring and hunger that I've not been witness to before. Mm-hmm. So obviously God has done it in pockets. But what's cool is like my friends all around the country are saying the same thing, that like God is stirring something really unique. And just like 2 weeks ago, I was at our college night service, which like, you know, shout out if that's you, 7:30 Thursday nights at Trinity. But what I saw there was absolutely beautiful, you know, just like a bunch of 18 to 20 something year olds. Like, I mean, there were people at the altar before service had even started. Mm-hmm. Like they were just ready to seek God and to meet with God and have an encounter with God. And we were talking about like the fear of God, you know, the Proverbs, where it begins in Proverbs, of like the fear of the Lord is the foundation of all wisdom, yeah. You know, but we typically think of fear as a bad thing. So what does it mean to have a fear of the Lord? And I went into that night almost thinking that it was like a corrective word of like, we need to fear God more, or I don't know what I thought, but I prepared a message. And then I'm like looking out at this room of college kids who are just like passionate about mm-hmm. God, serious about the things of the Lord, seeking God. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, this is an encouragement. Yeah. It's like, you understand this. Like, I see mm-hmm. the fear of the Lord in the room, because we understand like yeah. when we put God in his proper place, everything mm-hmm. else falls into place. Okay. And so there's just so much hunger. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. You know, our teams, we're just seeing God do so much
yeah.
In the next generations. And I'm choosing to believe that, revival generations.
Yeah, they are the revival generation. Your kids, Kinley and Declan, you know, all on, the way up to the college, you know, the college kids yeah. you saw the other night. You know, I love what you just said, because I really see that in our college students, our yep. young adults, high school students. And it's not a shallow
no.
experience
yeah.
type of thing.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
you're not
that's
preaching
right.
like fear of God. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, you're not talking about God's favor and God's
yeah.
blessing. You are,
yeah.
because there
yeah.
is favor but and blessing,
that's right.
you know,
that's
when
right.
when we have a healthy fear of God. But I think they're hungry for the depth of the Word of God,
amen.
For the challenge
yep.
to step up.
Yep.
I've actually seen a hunger for holiness
yep.
that
come
I have
on.
Not seen
absolutely.
Before.
Yep.
Like in, you know,
that's
this
right.
is a generation that was born into the brokenness of our culture,
yep.
and they are leaning in mm-hmm. to, you know, to holiness, to repentance,
amen.
To
amen.
Change. And
yep.
and it's been beautiful to see,
yep.
and it's been beautiful to watch you lead the team and lead them, you know, in this season, because an encounter with Jesus is going to
change everything. That's right.
Because in these days, God's pouring out his Spirit,
yep. Yep.
and our sons and our daughters
yep.
in this house are going to prophesy.
Amen.
And
come
I
on.
Love that you guys are preparing them for the platform
yep.
that the
amen.
Holy Spirit's prepared
amen.
For them.
We literally have a t-shirt that says that, an encounter with Jesus changes everything.
I love
so
it. Do you have how do I not
we'll
have that t-shirt? I need that t-shirt. Come
we'll
on.
Get you one.
That's amazing. Ryan, this has been so, so great. This will not be the last time you're
oh,
on
I'd
the
love
podcast.
To come back.
So I got to come back. Next time I'd have you have Christine come back
yes,
with you.
Yes,
you
would love that.
Declan would actually love
he?
It. He would lose his mind, because Declan, when we asked him what he wants to be when he grows up, what is that?
He wants to be a pastronaut.
A pastronaut.
Yeah, he'll get mad at me for saying this, because he's like, Dad, don't talk about it. Somebody will steal my
that's
idea.
That's true. That's right. That's
but yeah, but he wants to vision. Be the first person to preach in space.
I love that.
So and he's trying to figure out how soon before we go to Mars and all those kinds of things.
Come on, we're believing it. Hey. So, hey, every week we've been asking our listeners to send in their questions. And so we have a listener that sent in a question today. So I thought instead of me answering the question, you'd probably be a good one.
Hot seat.
Yeah, you're on the hot seat. So Lydia
yep.
sent in the question, and I think this is a
hi,
great
Lydia.
Question. Yeah. Hey, Lydia, thanks for chiming in. She's asking for advice when talking to your kids or family and friends who don't know Jesus. How do you have those conversations in a way that makes them want to listen?
Wow. I mean, I think first of all, and this is already embedded in her question, is like, we've got to care about the person more than anything else. You know, mm-hmm. I think if we choose to love the person and care for the person, it's going to guide and direct our conversation. So I think we've really got to start with love. And then what's great is like God has given us the tool of our personal testimony. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have our own experience with God that we can share, and that's something that people can't refute.
Yeah.
So that may not be their experience, but even as we talk about encounter, just share the encounters that you've mm-hmm. had with God, mm-hmm. and then trust him
yep.
for the results, mm-hmm. you know, like their response is not your responsibility.
That's right. I love that.
But God still asks us to share. So yeah. I would say start with love, share your testimony. Don't feel like you have to defend every aspect of the faith. But more often than not, I find that when people maybe have objections to Christianity, or they have something against the church or religion, if you really just listen to their story and you just hear them out, more often than not, there's just an opportunity to receive that, to love them, to share your testimony and get to the, it's usually not the thing they start with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we've got to listen long enough to know what to share with them.
I love that. Listen long enough. That's so good. I tell people all the time, you have nothing to prove.
Yeah.
But you have so much to share.
Amen.
And if you kind of, you know, enter into the conversation that way, then you can't lose, right? And that their response isn't your responsibility, you know, that we all can plant seeds.
Amen.
Some of us are going to water those seeds and some of us are going to see the fruit, but we're not all going to be able to, you know, we're not going to see the salvation prayer, maybe the first conversation, we're going to believe for it.
Yep.
I love that.
And the more you talk about Jesus, the easier it gets.
I know, that's true. That's right. Practice.
Just start.
Right, practice. So good. Hey, Ryan, this has been so great. Thanks for being here today and can't wait to have you back. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Make sure you share this with a friend and we'll make sure that we link Ryan's books and some of his messages in the show notes. So we can't wait to see you again on the So Good Sisterhood podcast. Thank you for joining us today for the So Good Sisterhood podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share this podcast with a friend, or leave us a comment. We hope today's episode leaves you feeling so good.